This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Firstly, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward all of those who have organized this program to help us through this pandemic. And there's a lot of people with having quite a few problems when it comes to the pandemic, family issues, health issues, of course, and interaction issues. So mashallah, this opportunity, Maulana Abdul Rahim Sahab, Allah Ta'ala bless him, and the team from Medina Masjid who's organized this program for Canada. It's been several years that I haven't been to Canada, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this occasion, this opportunity to speak to you all. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this a beneficial opportunity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about anger several times in the Quran, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaks about it in a number of hadith. It's something that is so part of the essential makeup of the human being and interaction with one another that it has to have been mentioned. There's a lot of guidance about it. There's a lot of guidance about it mentioned in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about people controlling their anger. كَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْثِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about not those people who don't have any anger, but rather those people who have control over their anger, who are able to suppress it, use it in the right way. You see, if we're to look at anger itself, there's a few different ways that ulama have described anger and how experts have described anger. It's a feeling inside when you get upset or when you fear something, and it's a kind of a defense mechanism almost. It's a defense mechanism. So you get angry when you want something to be a certain way, or when you see that something is not in a particular way how you would like it, or you feel a fear, sense of fear. Now, a lot of arrogant people have anger, right? In fact, anger and arrogance goes quite hand in hand in many cases. What do they fear? Because their anger, they're arrogant, they're powerful, maybe as well. So what is it that causes them to fear? Well, they're fearing their position, that somebody has mustered up enough strength to say something against them, or is threatening their position, is threatening their state or their status, their authority or whatever, so then you get angry. So there's numerous causes for anger. In Islam, after people fulfill the fara'id and the obligations, once a person is doing all of the obligations and the fara'id, then after that you can do optional worships, you can do optional fasts, you can do optional prayers, sadaqah, etc. And there's a lot of other optional things as well, like welfare work, like assisting other people. And there's, of course, the development of good character. So out of those, all of those optional acts, once a person is completing the obligation acts, then out of all the optional acts, they say that husnul khuluq and good character is one of the most important aspects. Because if you're doing optional nafl prayer, that's something that's going to benefit me. If I'm doing optional prayers or optional fasting, that's something that's going to benefit me. It's not necessarily going to benefit you, directly at least, right? However, if I develop good character and I work on regulating my character, getting into a level of moderation where it's fine-tuned, that's going to have huge repercussions, huge benefits. Because humanity stands by a sense of community and brotherhood and this community awareness, love, affection, compromise, mutual assistance. All of that is what makes a community and which makes humanity come together. And at the core of all of this is character. Because if somebody has good character, you know, we appreciate them. We want to work with them. There's a love in the heart for these people. There's affection in the heart. There's inclination towards these people. So good character is the ingredient of social good, social cohesion, you know, for the communities to come together. That's all based on good character. Even we as Muslims, you know, when we interact with non-Muslims, a non-Muslim with good character stands out from the rest. You know, good character is a light. It shines wherever you go. When you see good character, it shines. So the reason I'm talking about good character when our topic is actually anger is because good character is based on several different things within the human being. And if you look at all of these things, there's three things that three major faculties, three major aspects within the human being that actually make somebody's character the way it is. And one of them is anger. So you've got anger, you've got desire, and you've got knowledge. These are three of the fundamental aspects of what contributes to a person's character. If a person's anger level, you see, you can't eradicate anger completely, because having too less anger is going to negatively affect you. Cowardice, people who don't have any oomph in their life, who are willing to get abused, who are willing to allow their religion to be abused, their family to be abused, who are not willing to go and stand up for the rights of even themselves, who are not able to go and maybe work for themselves to have a halal earning. All of this comes from a sense of cowardice, a sense of no fire in the heart to do that which is right. So anger relates to the ability to do the right thing at the right time. Anger is the faculty that relates to that. We generally talk about anger in when it gets too much, when it goes beyond the limit and gets into where people are hurting one another, where people are harming one another, where it leads to arrogance, where it leads to taking somebody else's right, subduing somebody else's right, not listening to another person. That is an excessive state of anger. So anger, there's a moderate anger which the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. So he never used anger for himself. He never used anger. If somebody attacked him himself, said something to him, he was calm. In fact, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has to be admired. I mean, you just can't help but admire him. Because when he was personally abused, it just made him even more forbearing. It made him so much more patient. And he would almost smile in the face of some of these things. But when it came to the religion, when it came to aspects related to our deen, where somebody did something against it, then subhanAllah, then he would even grow red in the face, as we've mentioned, you know, in the Shama'il. So that is the ability to deal with different emotions. Imagine it. You know, things are thrown at you. You know, I don't mean physically thrown at you, but things are thrown at you in terms of abuse or criticism, and you can sift it out. Okay, this is criticism of me, right? I can take that. That's not a problem. But if it's against Allah, if it's against the deen, then I want to stand up for it. Now, this isn't to say that you can never get angry for yourself. Of course you can. I mean, it's just how then we express that anger and how then we articulate and do something with it. That's what's important. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had that equilibrium. His desire was perfect. His anger was perfectly moderated. Equilibrium. And his knowledge was obviously perfect as well. Now, if somebody has too much desire, since we're describing this issue, if we're talking about desire, if you have too much desire, it's going to lead to sexual vices. It's going to lead to haram, fornication, adultery, premarital sexual intercourse, and other forms of, you know, sexual deviances that are out there, because it's just got too much. It's just exploding inside, and the person is trying to express it in the wrong way. And likewise, if you don't allow the fulfill the rights of the desire, then a person is not going to be fulfilling the rights of their wife. A wife is not going to fulfill the rights of the husband, right? There are desires there. There's the right of the stomach to eat at least something, all right? To eat something to stay right. You know, there are people who go into these excessive fasts, continuous fasts for no reason. But if you have too much of that desire for food, for example, it's going to lead to gluttony. It's going to lead to obesity. It's going to lead to a lot of other problems, you know, both physical problems, psychological problems, and spiritual problems. So these things are there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us these things. Even forgetfulness, there's an aspect of it which is beneficial. Forgetfulness of the losses we have incurred. Somebody passed away, we feel really that pain is very raw. We feel really sad. We have a lot of anxiety. Give it a few days, give it a few months, and that pain becomes less because we don't remember it in the same way as it happened yesterday. that there's the benefit in forgetfulness. But if somebody has too much forgetfulness, they're forgetting their obligations, they're forgetting things that they need to do, and they're constantly letting people down, that's a problem. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. So now when it comes to anger now, it builds our character. And a person's character is going to be flawed when they have too much anger, and we know this. I mean, you know, if we can't see this in ourselves, because this is one of the most difficult things to judge, along with pride, because pride also comes with anger, right? It's very difficult to judge within ourselves. And I think most of us, who do get angry a lot, and I think I'm one of those who have, who can get angry, right? I need to recognize that I've got that as a problem to help myself. If I don't recognize it, I'm never going to be able to help myself. And personally, I think marriage has helped me, right? You get angry a lot, but then you find out that, you know, marriage is harmed, if that's the case. Dealing with other people, when you're managing a situation, when you're teaching, if you want to be an effective teacher, you can't keep getting angry, especially if you want, good grades for your students, if you want success for your students, you can get angry, but then you have to curb that as well. Everything in life teaches us this thing. That's why it's very important to understand that anger is going to have to be suppressed, but we have to recognize it first. Now, if we see anger, you know, if we think of another person who gets angry, you know, we're upset by that. That's not something that is praiseworthy. We actually look down upon that person. You know, we actually don't prefer that person for the anger aspect. Oh, he's a really good person, but he just gets too angry. When he gets angry, you know, we say these kind of things. So if we don't like it in another person, how do you think people are going to like it in us? That's one way to understand that. But the first thing in all of this is that we have to recognize this. We have to recognize this. Then once we've recognized it, then we will be able to figure out some of its therapies, some ways to correct it, some ways to sort it out. And that is where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has mentioned several different things. And of course, there's lots of other things. I mean, a simple check online. If you've got an anger problem and you're not married yet, make sure you get that sorted. You know, you have to be, because otherwise your marriage is going to be, it's going to affect your marriage. In terms of pre-marriage preparation, don't just focus on the day of your marriage, for example. Don't focus on what you're going to wear and who you're going to call and all the rest of it. Focus on how I'm going to be with my spouse, with my new family, right? So if you've got an anger problem, and the way we tell if you've got an anger problem is just compare ourselves to our other brothers and sisters or my group of friends. Who is it that gets angry more in that? Who is it that generally gets more angry than other people for the wrong reason? Right, so that's one way to figure this out. Just be honest with oneself. You don't have to declare to the whole world that you have an anger problem. Just get help. And there's ways to get help, which is, we're going to discuss some of those ways that we get help. But the first part is to recognize that we have this issue. Especially during this pandemic, it's brought people closer together, right? And before we could have comfortable distances from people, but now I guess with our own family it becomes more difficult. And what we've noticed is that there's people who won't get angry with other people because he's meeting them infrequently. He or she is dealing with them infrequently. You're perfect at your job. When you go to your work and you're there, in the office or whatever it is, or you're very professional, you're very managed, you're very organized because you've been through some training. You come home and it's a different story. You think it's okay to lash out at your close ones. Right, I don't know what this, I've not been able to figure out exactly what the psychological, term for this is, or what exactly this issue is. That, but where you have your own people, you feel you can lash out against them much more, and you don't realize the harm you're causing, and you feel like it's justified. And this is what has been just magnified during this lockdown, when people have had to stay more at home in confined spaces sometimes, Now, you can't blame anything else. We have to be able to learn to control it, right? We have to learn to control it. So now, for example, let's just mention one hadith, right? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a hadith of Bukhari. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reports that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, actually somebody asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can you advise me? Can you give me some counsel? Can you give me some advice? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La taghdab. So he said, give me some advice. Now, I'm not sure if he thought that don't get angry was not significant enough, and he was looking for some kind of big advice, or he was looking for something else. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, every time he repeated his request, he said, don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry. Now, that's not the only advice, of course, that the Prophet ﷺ has given to others, but for this person, he's kept saying, don't get angry. And maybe one of the reasons for that is that he may have noticed that this person has an anger issue, so he kept saying, don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry, لا تغضب. Right? Because he knew that anger is what's causing all the other issues. You know, anger is what's causing all of the other issues. So that's why he said that. In fact, there's another hadith. It's in Majma' al-Zawaid. The Prophet, a person came and said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, dullani ala amalin yudkhilni al-jannah. Wala tukthir alayya. Just indicate me to an action, or indicate an action to me, right, which will enter me into paradise, right? Give me an action that will get me into paradise. We all want that, right? But don't give me, don't give me too many things. Just give me like a simple point that will enter me into paradise that I do that. Wala tukthir alayya. Don't give me a long discussion. Don't give me too many advices. And the Prophet ﷺ said, La taghdab. He said, don't get angry. Right? Subhanallah. You know, he's asking for something very concise, very short, very to the point, maybe just one point, not too many points, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, La taghdab. Right? That just shows the importance of this. There's a huge importance. Allah mentions it quite a few times in the Quran. And there's numerous stories about this related to the same thing. In fact, on one occasion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting there, and there were two men that were abusing one another. They were having an argument. They were at dispute. And the face of one of them had become very red. And, you know, it says that his veins, jugular vein had swelled and everything. He was very, very angry. Sometimes you see somebody like that. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, it's so beautiful that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he said it, he kind of said it, not necessarily to them directly, but he wanted them to hear. So the Prophet ﷺ said, I know of a statement which if he says it, then that rage that he is experiencing, that anger that he's feeling right now, would go away. Right? He just needs to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So now you may ask that, why do you read A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim when you get angry? What's that got to do with anything? Why is anger and A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim? As you know, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, it means I seek refuge in Allah from shaitan that occurs. What's shaitan? Why seeking refuge from the shaitan when you're angry? Angry is your personal feeling. It's not like a bad thought in your mind, like a thought to go and commit a haram or something like that. So why is it like that if somebody's asking that? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has provided understanding of that as well, and many of our ulama have discussed that as well, that shaitan is created from fire, and fire is heat. Anger is also a sense of, or a state of heat in the body when you get overheated. That's essentially what's going on. This person is getting overheated, and it's a similar idea that you can only extinguish fire it's a shaitan. So you say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Shaitan, see, when a person gets angry, shaitan rides the wave of that anger. That's the thing. Once you get angry, shaitan is always around, right? So he then rides that wave and makes us do things in our anger, say things in our anger. I mean, how many of us recognize that, can identify that, can recall that when we were angry, we said things that we regretted? That's because shaitan started riding that emotion. So one of the emotions that shaitan rides is anger, right? And he uses it. It's a tool of the shaitan to do it. That's why we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So that means that while the natural state of the anger in, you know, that we feel, the physiological state, the psychological state that we're in, we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. So at least the anger can be subdued and suppressed as a physiological thing, and shaitan will not take over. So shaitan doesn't have to cause the anger, right? The anger could be caused for different reasons, but shaitan can magnify it, expand it, and take over it. So we say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, we won't go far with it. We can actually calm it down. We can actually say, no, suppress it. You know, we're not going to say this. I want to swear at the person. I want to do this. But no, that's against my personal dignity to do that. Sometimes, to be honest, like, I'm on Twitter. So the other day we put out, we're doing a class on hellfire. It's called Hell Revealed, right? So we put up the poster, and immediately we got a non-Muslim, right? A non-Muslim who commented on there and saying, this is so depraved or something like that. Now, you can understand it's probably coming from an atheist perspective to say that, you know, there's no concept of hellfire and this is just, you guys are still talking about hellfire. Like, you know, you're living in the modern world. Where is the hellfire and so on, right? So now you feel like you want to lash out. You know, you feel like you want to say something. You know, there's a lot of things that you could actually say. So when you read A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, at least the you will be stopping the shaitan from taking that anger and using it in the wrong way and saying what you might regret afterwards. Because at the end of the day, we as Muslims, and especially Muslim leaders, anybody who's dignified as a Muslim, right, they need to have their self-respect, right? It shouldn't be that now I can start swearing just because somebody has said something weird to me, or somebody has abused me, or somebody has said something to cause an affront to me. I have to show that I have some character. That's the only thing that stopped that, to be honest, just having that thought just stopped me from saying anything in response. Otherwise, there's so many things that we could have said. So that's the kind of things that we need to understand. And there's numerous hadith about this. I'm going to mention about the prevention. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as I said, the first hadith which I already mentioned, that A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. So shaitan doesn't take over and take advantage of your anger. Number two, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah innal ghadaba jamratun fi qalbi ibn Adam. Anger is an ember in the heart of the human being, of the son of Adam, right? Afama ra'aytum ila humrati aynay wa intifakhi awdajih. Haven't you seen, basically the way he said it is that, haven't you seen the redness of the eyes when somebody gets angry, and the bloating and the swelling of the veins of the throat? Haven't you seen that? That shows that there's an internal cause. Of course, there's no physical ember. This is a metaphor to say that it's coming from inside, right? So then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that فَمَنْ أَحَسَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ فَلْيَلْزَقْ بِالْأَرْضِ. Anybody who feels this, right, who experiences this, he should go and basically lay himself down on the ground. He should stick to the ground. That's kind of interesting. And one of the reasons is that we earthing ourselves. You know, fire is the reason why shaitan and the jinn and so on are so problematic is because they're made of fire, so their imagination is wild. And that's why they said that even if a jinn tells you something, now I don't want to get into the world of jinn, you can't take everything that a jinn says because they have a wild imagination. We are from the earth, right? We are from the soil. The soil is humble, right? And that's why even our electricity is actually grounded. It needs to go back to the ground. So hit the ground, basically. That will calm us down, right? And there's many other, you know, there's many other aspects about that in through modern expression. Now, I'm not sure about Canada. In America, for example, when you get stopped on the motorway, if the police stop you on the highway, right? I don't know if you noticed, when the police stop you on the highway, you're supposed to stay in your car, keep your hands where they can see them. The police will come and they will stand, you roll down your window. The police are not going to stand in front. So you're not going to be confronted by the police. They're going to stand behind you and they're going to say, sir, da 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 da, whatever, right? Why do they stand behind you and why don't they confront you? The reason is that all of these things are, you can say, management techniques for not overcoming, not basically getting aggravated and not letting your anger go overboard. Because when somebody's in front of you, you feel like you can lash out more. There's a confrontational mode and form that you're in. Whereas when they're behind you, you know, some of that is diffused. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find in the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also mentioned things like, if you have a weapon, don't go brandishing it around. Like if you've got a knife or whatever, don't brandish it around. Because the shaitan may pull your hand, right? The shaitan may pull your hand. Because what happens is that if you've got a weapon, like if you've got a knife or something, you have this weird feeling that shaitan will create in you to do something with it. And people have made mistakes in weapons where they had no intention to do so. So keep it down. That's why we're told to do all of these things. This is all to diffuse it and so that nothing gets out of hand. That's why we've been told in our deen, like Abu Dharr radiallahu, and I think it was him, that once somebody got him angry, and he was in the fields, and there's water there, it's soggy ground. So somebody got him angry, and he sat down. Then the discussion continued, and he, you know, it was still an angry state, so he lay down there, and it's like, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing what I've been told to do by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You're earthing yourself. You're getting down and you're earthing yourself. Now, I know that might sound a bit, but what I've noticed is that if you, in fact, this is what studies show, that if you want to tell somebody something and critique them, you know, like for example, it's a brother of yours, a child of yours, a friend of yours. Like, let's just say that there's somebody in the masjid that you've heard said something about you or has got a misunderstanding or whatever, and you need to correct them, you need to correct the understanding. Don't grab them after salat, as many of us would do, for example, right? And just take them to a side and start standing up and saying that. You've got more chances if you sit the person down, right? If you sit the person down, they say that you've got more chances of convincing the person. Or people taking criticism, they say that people take criticism much less when they're standing than when they're sitting. And they take more criticism when they're lying down than when they do when they're sitting. So actually the most ideal situation is that if you want to critique somebody and have that kind of a discussion where you want to correct something of this, call them to your house, right? Go somewhere and, you know, get somewhere where you can actually lie them down. I mean, I know that's a bit too much, but at least have them sitting down, relaxed. The more relaxed they are, the less confrontational, the more tolerant, the more agreeable they will be, and the more you'll be able to get through to them. Never criticize somebody standing up, because there's just too much of a confrontational mode. Right? It's just too much of a confrontational mode. That's why sit down. And what the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, you know, is the basis of all of this, right? It's showing us exactly, and this is what the studies show, these kind of things to be happening as well. The other thing that we can do is to put a buffer in between. Now, there's a beautiful dua that's helped me a lot. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a dua of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaq wan-nifaq wa su'il akhlaq. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaq wan-nifaq wa su'il akhlaq. Now, sometimes there are certain people that we have anger problems with. Generally, when I see that person, then because they just irritate me, they just say something to me, it's just this weird relationship, I get angry. Like, I just don't have tolerance. So prepare yourself from before. There's no point. I mean, a Muslim is supposed to be somebody who doesn't get bitten from the same hole twice. All right? The person may aggravate you. The person may irritate you a lot. But at the end of the day, we need to try to preempt that. Why should I be the one who loses it all the time? How can I diffuse this? How can I sort this out in a different way? How can I get over this? How can it be that I don't have this problem anymore? I don't have these issues anymore? This is the kind of thing that we must learn. So what you do is you preempt it. If there's a certain person that you have to meet, maybe it's a relative, maybe it's your own brother, maybe it's your father, maybe it's your mother, somebody, and you know that it always kick off on something, before you go in, compose yourself, right? Then number two, you know the kind of hot flashpoints, right? Try to avoid those. And above all, read the dua. Oh Allah, I seek your refuge from shiqaq, which basically means dispute, right? Quarreling and arguing. Nifaq, hypocrisy. Wasu'il akhlaq, and bad character. And here the bad character obviously comes from the anger faculty. I've noticed that this has helped me, and inshallah it will help you if you read this. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika. You know that much already, because there's so many du'as like that. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min ash-shiqaqi wan-nifaqi wa su'il akhlaq. So that inshallah will help as well. Now, why should you do something about your anger? As I said, for people who are married and they're very angry people, they're going to know that it's messed up their marriage, or it is messing up their marriage. But the wonderful thing is that you can actually sort it out if you really want to. A lot of people with anger problems, they actually feel quite comfortable sometimes with their anger, because it gives them this false sense of power. Because when they're angry, they lash out and they feel that everybody else cowers and sits down and, you know, doesn't say anything. That's just a false sense of anger. You'd rather get that through respect, right? And there are ways to get that through respect rather than being angry, because anger is bad for you, right? Anger is not just spiritually bad for you. Not only can it be sinful, right, if done in the wrong way and, you know, in these extreme ways, but it's actually physically bad for a person. So how is anger bad? Well, you see, anger, in a physiological sense, is a constant flood of stress chemicals, right? It's a release. It's this release of stress chemicals. That's when you get angry. You get stress, right? There's a lot of that that goes, and that becomes associated with other metabolic changes, right? Especially with unmanaged anger. As I said, anger is a natural thing, and there's nothing wrong with having a sense and a faculty of anger. There's nothing wrong with that. But if it's unmanaged anger, where you're constantly flying off the handle, then that causes a flood of stress chemicals, and that can be bad for you. That drip, drip, drip of that stress chemical is extremely harmful for a person, different aspects of the body. So for some people, for example, it's created headaches, right? They get constant headaches because they're constantly angry about something, unmanaged. They don't know how to manage their anger, right? They don't know how to manage their anger. Eventually, that could lead to digestion problems, right? Abdominal pain, insomnia. You get angry, you can't sleep, right? Insomnia issues. Increase anxiety, right? Depression. Because eventually, if you get so angry, people don't want to speak to you because you can't reason with them. You just get too angry, right? Everything has to be dealt with anger. So then you're personally going to get depressed because you're not going to be able to see anything coming from people having that good interaction. High blood pressure, subhanAllah. High blood pressure, that's a big thing when it comes to anger. They get high blood pressure, and it leads to also, in fact, in some people it leads to eczema. Not necessarily in everybody, but in some people it could even lead to skin problems and eczema. But eventually, some of the worst things is that when the high blood pressure and all of these other things, right, heart attack, stroke, all of these things could ensue for a person who doesn't control their anger. That's just the physiological aspects. Spiritual aspects, it'll mess up your prayer. You keep getting angry and you're in your salat, the anger is going to cause a dispute maybe, it's going to cause something else, you're planning your next move, all of that is going to create a problem. So these are a list, right? And not in any kind of particular order, but inshallah, these are a list. I've tried some of them, I've not tried the others, but maybe inshallah it will be beneficial to some of us, you know, to all of us inshallah in some way. They say that if you do feel angry about something, take a walk. You know, firstly, walk away from the situation and think, because the problem is that when you're angry, and I've noticed sometimes somebody said something, you immediately want to respond if you're that kind of a person. If you're a person who doesn't like responding at all, you won't have, you know, you don't have a challenge with this. You'll have other challenges. But when it comes to people, you know, who generally get angry, because we're talking about people with anger problems within the COVID and other situation, right? Walk away from the situation. That sometimes helps. Temporarily, until you cool down, then you can come back and deal with it in a cooler sense. That works very well. Number two, try to pinpoint, why do you get so angry? Do you have to get angry? Is that the only way to deal with this issue? Why do you get so angry? Is that the only way to deal with this issue? Can you not do it a different way? Is it because of something that you're doing that's then creating that reaction? That's why you get angry, and then that causes you to get angry? Number three, if you keep getting angry, do something physical like going and taking a run or on a treadmill or some kind of sport or physical exercise. That again helps to just dissipate the chemicals. That helps a lot to dissipate the chemicals and sort things out like that as well. Another one is, subhanAllah, go and talk to somebody that you trust, right, about your feelings and see if, especially somebody who interacts with you regularly, because they'll be able to tell and they might see patterns. If you can figure out the pattern, that will be really, really helpful, right? Another one mentioned in the hadith of Musnad Ahmad is that you make wudu, right? Go and make wudu. And again, that is, you're doing several things. You're distancing yourself, you're changing your activity, you're using water, right? So water is very effective for calming a person down as well. All right, so that's really beneficial to do wudu. In fact, go and take a ghusl if you can. That's even better, right? That would really help to calm situations down. You'll get a time to think about it as well. Constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from the harms of anger and rage, right? And I mentioned one of the duas there. Above all, if you really want to sort your anger out, I think one of the most effective ways, to deal with arrogance, to deal with anger, to deal with greed and all of these things is to have a regimen of dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, and if I stop and say this is probably one of the most important, along with all of the other practical suggestions, but this one is probably one of the most important. You want to remember one thing from this, is to get a regimen of dhikr. You know, especially if you can find a good, a good scholar, a good mentor, a good sheikh, right, to help you out in this regard, right, and to have a regimen of dhikr. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most powerful to create humility in the heart, because this is the benefit you'll get. If you constantly take the name of Allah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, Allah's name can never be devoid of benefit. You know, it's going to affect you. It's going to soften the heart. A lot of the time we can't remedy anger because the heart is too hard. You know, we don't want to take any advice. The heart is too hard, right? The advice doesn't go in. We don't soften ourselves. When you constantly, Allah, Allah, La ilaha illallah, La ilaha illallah, when you're repeating this, right? The dhikr and you're remembering Allah, it softens the heart out, right? When it softens the heart out, it makes us more humble, because it's now going to remind ourselves of our position. We're just a servant, a needy servant of Allah. Allah is the one who is worthy of all the high things that we want, right? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is truly worthy of that. So that will help to diffuse our arrogance. That will help to diffuse anger, right? You start seeing things in the right way. You start learning more about your deen. So that is why it really, really benefits to have a regimen of dhikr. And especially some of the muraqabat, some of the meditations, they're specifically beneficial for calming a person's anger down. Right? And this is what the ulama have found through a lot of tajma. The name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is beneficial anyway, but this is a very specific benefit to that effect. Some other suggestions in the short time that we have is accept your mistake. And be honest with yourself, like, should I really be getting angry here? This just gets, you know, this is all going to be really tied up with arrogance, and I always need to be the right one, and so on. That nobody else can have one over me. All of that, you know, we have to learn to sometimes just accept our mistake and not argue about it, because that's one of the worst situations. Learn to forgive and forget, so you don't have to get angry and have to bash everything down and correct everybody. Learn to forgive and forget. You know, why? Why should you fly off your handle and cause yourself, you know, a possibility of a stroke and so on? Another one is try to develop indifference to the thing which bothers you too much. Like, it bothers you, that's why you get angry, but you're seeing that there's no point of it bothering me, or there's no benefit in it bothering me. It's not going to get me anywhere. So what you then do is you try to develop an indifference to it. Of course, if it's an important matter, you can't do that. So this won't necessarily work everywhere. Keep a diary of your outbursts, meaning note your outbursts, like, today I got angry twice. You see, this isn't going to change overnight. If we've had an anger problem for the last 5, 10, 15, 20 years, right, it's not going to change overnight. The only time it changes overnight is if we are hit with a massive problem and we start realizing our vulnerability, right? Our weakness, our absolute need for Allah, and our weakness in front of the systems of the world as well. Then sometimes people become very, very, very humble. But why are we waiting for something big to happen, you know, to take a big hit? No. What we do is that every time we do get angry, at the end of the day, whatever, we think back, like, what was it that made me angry? Next time that happens, I want to, something that really bothers me sometimes is the way people drive, okay? I think I've calmed down a bit, but that is when I would get angry. So I have to think about it that way, that what, you know, if I say this, I'm never going to see this guy again, so why should I swear at that person? Alhamdulillah, I don't think I swear, but I'm saying, people feel the need to swear. What's the benefit of swearing? You're going to see that person for a few seconds, right? It's somebody who cut you off or whatever. It's not somebody locally that constantly cuts you off. Then there's a different strategy. This is somewhere you're driving outside, somebody cut you off. Now you want to roll down your window and say a few things to him. What do you get out of it? You're never going to see that guy again. You're probably never going to see it. What's the point of lowering yourself, saying a few abusive words, making a bad face or whatever? What are you going to get out of that? Think, is it worth it or not? Now, in terms of, there's a lot of training that you can get about this. There's assertiveness training. There's conflict resolution. That helps, you know, the whole science of conflict resolution. Take a, read a book on conflict resolution. If that is the reason why you constantly get angry, where you just can't get to convince people, people don't get it sometimes, and then you get angry. Learning relaxation techniques. But subhanAllah, I think relaxation techniques, you know, you could do that through exercise and so on. But one of the best forms of relaxation is by doing a muraqabah, like a meditation, right? And having a dhikr regimen. If it gets really bad, then, you need to see a psychologist or a counselor, right? Especially if it's about events of the past. Now, if you're getting angry about events of the past that you can't even change now, then you need some kind of therapy, right? You need some kind of therapy. I've got a lecture that you should probably listen to if you've got issues about the past and you're still carrying them. It's called Don't Be Depressed. You don't know your future. That's on zamzamacademy.com, right? It's very important to understand this whole concept of divine decree, especially if you're angry with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? I know our topic is more about families and so on. Allahu Akbar. Exercise regularly. That helps to just dissipate some of the chemicals, right? So that you won't get so angry, inshallah. People who are stressed more are more likely to express anger. So if you've got a thing that's stressing you out, and I know people losing their jobs or having to work from home, not having enough space in the house, you know, everybody's competing for the particular space, or, you know, the children are shouting around, and, you know, subhanAllah, you know, all of those are obviously stress causes. So we have to do the best we can. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put us into this situation. May He take us out of it. But numerous worldwide studies, right, have documented that regular exercise can actually help mood and reduce stress levels. Reason is because I think physical exertion burns up the stress chemicals. You can vent them within the exercise. And it also boosts production of mood-regulating neurotransmitters, right, in the brain, including endorphins and other positive chemicals. You know, there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about, but just a few more things to mention. There's a hadith in Imam Ahmad's Musnad where he says that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Idha ghadiba ahadukum falyaskut." When one of you gets angry, just be quiet for a while. Be quiet for a while. Right? That in fact, a lot of people do use that. And that is very helpful as well. And again, all of these practical suggestions are from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Urwat ibn Muhammad al-Sa'di, somebody got him angry, so he got up and he performed wudu, and he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said that inna al-ghadaba min ash-shaytan, anger comes from the shaytan. Wa inna ash-shaytana khuliqa min an-nar, shaytan is, I alluded to this before, the shaitan is created from the fire. وَإِنَّمَا تُطْفَأُ النَّارُ بِالْمَاء, and fire is generally extinguished with water. So فَإِذَا غَضِبَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَتَوَضَّأ. So when one of you does get angry, go and perform wudu. Right? That's the full hadith of what I indicated to before. Once, Muawiyah, he was angered by Abu Muslim al-Khawlani. So he got up and he performed ghusl. He actually went and took a bath and he came back and he said the same thing that the Prophet ﷺ had mentioned. You see, the virtues of calming ourselves down and controlling our anger, there's a hadith that I'm going to mention to you from Imam Ahmad. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man kadhama ghaydan wa huwa yastati'u an yanfudhahu." Whoever controls their anger, calms them, suppresses themselves, suppresses their anger, whereas he's got the ability to, you can unleash it. Meaning, you're in a position, right, to unleash your anger and do something about it, right? But you actually control yourself. دَعَاهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ حَتَّى يُخَيِّرَهُ فِي أَيِّ الْحُورِ شَاءَ. Now, the Prophet ﷺ is speaking to men, so that's why he's giving them that incentive. Basically, that whoever controls their anger, when even though they were in a situation where they had the ability to unleash it, right? Subhanahu wa ta'ala will invite them, will call them, right? In front of everybody, in front of all of creation, right? So it's a call of honor, right? This person is going to be honored in that sense. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eventually will also then give him the option to take whichever hoor that he wants. Now, I know that's kind of, you know, for the men, right, generally. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give something of similar greatness and honor and happiness and joy to the women who do that as well. This is not just for men. It's not just men who have a problem with anger, right? There's other people who have, you know, women have problems as well with anger. So, Allahu Akbar. I think we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to assist us. Just to conclude, put a space in between, let us think and first recognize that we do have an anger problem. Otherwise, we're not going to get anywhere with this. Let's realize the relationships that it's straining, it's destroying, it's causing a problem. We get angry. Anger is physiologically a problem, physically, medically, psychologically, spiritually a problem. It is spoiling our worships. It's spoiling our character. It's not allowing us to get the balance in our character, right, in our akhlaq, which is one of the most, you can say, rewarded aspects in Islam after the fara'id and obligations. The Prophet ﷺ said that Islam was sent for good character. So that's why all of these things are there, that are there for that. And it is the advice of the Prophet ﷺ, when people ask for the advice, especially if you've got a problem, then consider that advice for us. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for tawfiq. May Allah bless all of you, wherever you are in the world, especially our Canadian brothers who this program was actually organized for. And Hazrat Mawlana Abdul Rahim Sahib, may Allah grant him a long life with great iman and mashallah, much more work than what he's already done. May Allah accept him to do even much greater work, and his organizations and everything else, and all of our other teachers. Allah bless them all. Allah bless them all. Allah bless the ummah, remove these conflicts. May Allah take us out stronger than we were, right, before we enter this conflict. This pandemic is rather a punishment for some people who are having a problem in this, right? It's a source of mercy for other people, you know, and it's a source of forgiveness and purification for a lot of other people. Let us make it a source of purification and for elevation. Otherwise, the pandemic will pass, right? Inshallah, there's going to be an end to it, right? Everything ends in this world, right? It's going to end. But if we don't come out of it better than we are, then the whole thing for us has been useless. Right, whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to teach us a lesson. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to become better people during this time. Allah accept our du'as. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.